Hello, respiratory family. This is Let's Talk Respiratory. I've been on my travel assignment, I want to say a little bit over a month now. And the good news is I may be extending the contract there. So the invitation was sent out and I think I'm going to extend the contract there. So yay. So this hospital is the first hospital that I've worked at before that there was, this hospital is the largest hospital I worked at. I was at a hospital in Norristown that was, similar in size, but this one is a little bit larger. It has about 4 or 5 ICUs. I maybe think 2 EDs, or just a large ED. And from the second floor up to the seventh floor is where respiratory therapy does care at. So we have a larger space to cover. And this is the hospital that I worked, the first hospital that I worked at, that we had such a large number of respiratory therapists on at one time. I think on night shift, there's anywhere between 7 to about 14, 15 respiratory therapists on, depending on the the acuity of the patient load and the patients that's in the hospital at the time. And it was a little bit larger size of patient load due to, the COVID virus. But this is the first hospital that I worked at before that we had an oncology ward. And I didn't think that it would affect me the way it was. I really didn't put that much thought into it because I never think that I would work with oncology patients. Grant and I have a family member that died from cancer. And that was very hard, So I think that now I'm working on the oncology ward, it kind of takes me back a little bit to those feelings I had of when a family member of mine, was sick with cancer. It gave me an emotional reaction that I haven't had, or that I've been able to, shelter for some time. Like when I'm working in the ED or any other floor, I didn't have that visceral reaction that I initially had working with oncology patients. It was a different kind of feeling because I know that these patients, some of them here are, actively, going through having cancer, and some of them are in, remission and things of that sort. But it just gave me a different feeling knowing that these patients, was battling something so that doesn't really have a good prognosis, and I know that the chemo and the radiation may help prolong or even kill the cancerous cells, but it just gave me a visceral reaction that I didn't expect to have. And sometimes working in healthcare, you see gunshot victims, or you see patients that come in with CHF and COPD and things of that sort. And it's like for respiratory, that's like, that's our normal base of patients that we have, asthmatics, COPDers, CHFers. And we know the course of treatment a lot of times for these patients because we deal with them so frequently. And on oncology ward, there's not a lot of things we do with the oncology patients. Maybe some incidental spirometries, maybe they're in the bed for a long period of time. We want to have them, inflate their lungs and take deep breaths in, and the incidental spirometry help with that. Or the OPEP therapy, for secretion clearance and like a chest physical therapy maneuver. So that's majority of the patient load that I have when I work on the oncology floor. Maybe even nebulizer treatments. But I just felt real empathetic, to the patients when I was working up there, and it kind of struck me, emotionally. It kind of had me feeling like I wish there was more I can do. I wish that these patients didn't have to go through this, this illness and have to deal with this condition, something that that's really out of their control. A lot of times patients have, cancers in certain part of their bodies, and I don't think it's anything that they did during their life that contributed to them having cancer. Sometimes with lung cancer or throat cancer may come from smoking or But I see people who come in with ovarian cancer. People come in with, like, you know, stomach cancer. You know, like, cancer that's just metastasizing. Like, you know, I don't think that... I don't know if poor health or decisions that people make in life contributed to that. But it just makes me feel like cancer is something that, you know, once it's there, the best course of action is probably, you know, to go ahead with the immunotherapy that the patient's physicians has prescribed for them. But it just makes me a little bit more empathetic to the patient and their care. I mean, I'm empathetic to all my patients and all the care that I provide, because I'm a healthcare provider, and that's why I got into the field. I genuinely like what I do. Although I don't feel like coming to work on some days, when I'm there, I'm usually in a good headspace. I'm usually able to operate and to conduct myself and perform my duties as I'm supposed to do for the patients that need the care. But it just struck me differently. It just hit me differently when I got on the oncology ward, and it's like, you know, a few older folks, like, you know, and I really enjoy working with older folks for some reason. Like, they just look so sweet and innocent most of the time. Like, I mean, I know they had a large, you know, a very, you know, grand life, you know, that they've lived and they made it to this point. And that's a respectable thing. Like, I first admire, you know, people for getting to the age that they got to, you know, 70, 80, 90 years old, 94 years old, like, and still, you know, able to move around and do things and, you know, have some freedom and some mobility and be able to, you know, have somewhat of a decent life still. So I admire that, and I hope that, you know, one day I'll be able to get to that age as well. So already you have a soft spot for older, for senior citizens, older adults. And then seeing the, you know, the pathology that they had to deal with on top of that, you know, it just made me, you know, kind of mushy. And so they just reinstated, like, you know, patients having visitors at the hospital. But for all of that time, like, you know, patients that, you know, were going through COVID or actively still going through COVID, they can't have any visitors. But patients that's, like, you know, that's not in any COVID areas, or patients just having, like, you know, like, you know, like oncology, they're able to see, you know, they're able to have visitors now. But just think about it, you know, going through, you know, one of the most hardest times in your life, things that you probably thought you wouldn't have to deal with, you know, and not being able to be around your family and friends. Like, you know, I spoke to some patients and they told me that was, like, the hardest part of, you know, being in the hospital. Like, you know, they were able to FaceTime the patients, I mean, their family, but majority of it, you know, they weren't able to have no visitors. And, like, you know, they're, you know, emotionally distraught because they aren't home, they're in their bed, they're in a foreign place, you know, in this hospital, in these hospital beds, you know, dealing with people in and out of their room every 4 hours, you know, your respiratory come in every 4 hours, and then nursing come in and do what they have to do, as well as nursing aides come in and do what they have to do as well. So, like, it's just like, you know, a array of people just in and out of their rooms, you know, all the time. But it's not, you know, family, so they ain't properly getting that proper rest or that proper relaxation that they probably would get at home. And on top of that, they can't have, you know, the interaction with their family they would like to have. The interactions are with us, the healthcare workers. So, you know, I always try to make it, a nice interaction or a convenient interaction when I'm dealing with patients, because, you know, you're not in that predicament. You don't know what it's like to be away from your family, not have anybody to hold your hand or to hug you when you're going through these trying times. Not like the family can stay there all night, but just to be able to, you know, have that warm embrace every now and again, I think it means a lot to the patients. So that's been a difficult time. So I'm really empathetic, you know, with the patients, and, you know, just knowing that they have so much going on and they don't have the family members there. And the oncology patients, they've been able to have patients. When I was there the other day, you know, I was seeing one of my patients do a OPEP, secretion clearance, and the IS, the incidence spirometry, which is the lung inflation. And his neighbor had, you know, family there. And it just, you know, warmed my heart to know that he had that interaction with his family and be able to see them again. But it's been really different working on the oncology, you know, oncology department. And elicited a reaction that I didn't think I was going to have. I'm glad I had it. It just gave me some, you know, it just brought me back to reality a little bit and made me thankful for some of the things that I might take for granted, or some of the things that I didn't, you know, put enough emphasis on in my life, you know, just, you know, to being alive, being able to live and to have, you know, motor functions and, you know, functions of my, you know, my neurological functions and, you know, have, you know, functions of my digits and my, you know, my toes and my, well, in medical world, phalanges and, you know, my arms, my limbs and things of that sort. Like, it's made me roll back and be appreciative of those things and just being appreciative to the job that I have and to, you know, and to just healthcare, you know, that you know, we are, you know, making a difference, you know, in people's lives with a smile, with a, you know, a kind gesture, with a conversation, and with the care that we provide, you know. So that was just, you know, I haven't been on here in a while, and I just went to talk to the respiratory family. So that was, you know, a little breakdown about how I feel about working in oncology. Driving up here to the job, and I will talk to you guys sooner than later. So you guys be safe. Keep on doing what you do to make these patients, you know, lives a little bit better and making your own life a little bit better in your own, you know, personal circumstance. And so we talk again. This is Let's Talk Respiratory.